You are listening to the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. This is a collective of creators and callings that bring us together. Here are your hosts, Aziza and Candace.
Hello! I'm trying to make it new and exciting. Not that we are not already new and exciting. Welcome to episode 41 of the Gourmet Pens Club podcast. I am one of your esteemed hosts, Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens. Let's welcome my co-host.
Well, hello. I am the co-host. I am Candace, Inks and Anchors. Let's have fun. So, no, that's not it. Let's try this again. We're ready for the fun. So,
let's hang out. Now, just for the record, Candace probably jumped the gun because she is not sure what I'm going to say next, because the last thing she said before we began recording was, I only have 3 sailors left in my collection.
I know.
And I said, well, hold up. We're going to start recording and we're leading in with that. And then she said that has nothing to do with feedback from makers. And I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care. Excuse me, Inks and Anchors, please explain yourself.
What do you mean? I have 3 sailors left in my collection. Can you believe it? I know. Close your mouth. You're catching flies.
I'm sorry. But okay. Does that mean you need to like rebrand?
No, because I've thought about this. Because as y'all know, Inks and Anchors, Anchors means sailors.
Yeah.
But I still have a few sailor nibs that I use in Yovo collars and Bach collars. I actually have a few in Bach collars as well. So I still love the sailor nib, and I have, I don't know, I've lost maybe 8 nibs, separate nibs. So like I've got a Zoom architect. I've got, you know, broad architect. I've got engineer grinds. Thank you.
I was so concerned.
But I actually only have 3 sailors. One is one that was decorated by Bucamundo. So it's got Rodden and Arushi. Okay. One is that 4B sailor.
Yeah. And if you ever sell it, I want it.
Okay. And the third one is the Shishikura ice crystal. So it's the gray body, shimmering kind of gray. And then the cap is kind of like an ice blue with glitter.
Is that one of the more recent ones?
Kind of. It has, well, not that recent. It has a metal section. It's one of the Shishikuras with a metal section. I think it's one of her, she has like the cherry blossom and then the sakura. And I think this is the winter season one, which is the gray. I really, really love it because it's, I just like the neutral. I guess I'm moving towards the neutral tones more, right?
And I'm sorry. I did Google it while you were talking about this and I saw it, which is, you're right. It is fairly neutral in terms of being gray and a soft blue.
Yes.
And I'm thinking, this is a pretty significant difference to your rottened sailor.
I have the sailor that is rottened. So,
Okay. Listen, we need to have like an entire episode about what on earth Candace has been up to.
Let's
leave this as a teaser.
Okay, so that's next
episode. For next time. So you're going to have to come back to find out what Candace has been up to, because I also need to know, because like, what on earth? Okay. Thank you, Candace, for taunting us like that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So this is kind of the wrap up of our feedback episodes, at least officially. And this is a summary of the feedback that we have received from pen makers, artisans, new, experienced, ones who have been around for years in the pen world, some who are quite new. And so we have compiled all of this to share with you. And what we're going to do is go through them kind of like what we did with the feedback for makers from the pen community. And so we're going to kind of go over it and kind of discuss it again. And we would love to hear your feedback wherever you may be listening or via email, just because I think this is really valuable and something that is really hard to convey between buyers and sellers. Because, I mean, we're not just buyers and they are not just sellers. And I mean, that sounds really creepy, but like, we're really passionate buyers, but they're also passionate creators.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do I'm going to just go in the order of each maker that submitted their feedback. And all of them that I have received, I have included the maker's name at the end, that where they were okay with us sharing it. So we will actually include tags and show note links to these makers just because they're comfortable with it being shared.
Awesome.
Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so first thing, this is from Pens by Pasquale.
Nick.
Hi, Nicholas. Okay, so first thing, if there are any issues with the pen that Nicholas sends out, he requests that you let him know. And so he says, if you purchased a pen of mine from someone secondhand and there is an issue, please let me know. I will do what I can to make it right. So, Candace, as someone who has purchased a bajillion pens secondhand, also firsthand, has this ever happened to you where you needed to contact a maker, or have you just lucked out?
I have definitely needed to contact a maker.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think we mentioned this last episode that I have done that because I think pen makers, and Nick's comment is very valid, they don't want you to be unhappy with your pen, right?
Right.
And because they know what's going to happen, one of two things is going to happen. One, you're going to badmouth them.
Yeah.
Not in a mean way or an intentional way, perhaps, right? But you may just not be so excited about your pen, right? And you just it just may come through.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. And the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to sell it. I would sell it, obviously.
Right. Like if you're let down by it.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you are not a person that sells your pen, you're just not going to use it. And then nobody wants that either, right?
Right, so, right.
Yes. Yeah, so it has happened to me where I have received pens that are, I had a pen received once where there was a hole, like a divot. Remember that one? In the material.
Yes.
There was an air bubble. And it really should never have been left. I've received pens that were not polished, obviously not polished in a way that should have been polished.
Like still scuffed. Like you could still see the marks.
Completely scuffed. So it wasn't a case where, hey, I know this could be done better.
Right.
Which I have also had that done. I've also looked at a pen and I said, you know what? I will pay you if you could just polish this better, right? And I had a very frank discussion with the maker and he was able to do it. I mean, I don't think I have a reputation as being somebody that's difficult because I just spend a lot of money on my pens and I do want it to be, and I tend to be a person that I don't like confrontation. I used to be that person in the past where I just say, oh, it's fine. You know, I don't want to bother them or, and I don't want to, but in the end,
well, it's actually better for them as well.
It took me a couple of years for me to say, you know what? Don't be such a doormat. Just, you know, you've purchased this with hard-earned money. And I don't think they would be happy if you weren't happy with the end result, right?
And and especially because when you go back to them, they learn from the feedback.
Yeah.
So that is quite valuable. Also, you were pretty nice about it. You could be terrifying if you wanted to be. I mean, you're not, but you could be.
I think I'm really reasonable. I don't, you know, I'm perfectly willing, even though people say you shouldn't, I said, I'm perfectly willing to pay for the shipping back to the maker. And, you know, I don't push them in terms of get it done now kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? I give them the time to do it. I, you know, it's not a rush. I just don't want them to forget it. And they don't. And they've had makers do things, you know, all the time.
I'm glad though to hear that this is your experience. Same thing for me. I've had not as many as you, I think, just because I'm not cray. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, I'm just joking. I've had a few, and some were like on pens that I was already lukewarm about, and then I thought, I won't deal with this. I'm just going to put it on the market and let the buyer know that, hey, this is the issue. If you want to deal with it, I've dropped the price significantly, whatever. And there's a few that have been quite special to me where I've had them repaired and it has been, so same thing, I will ship it to the maker on my dime, which is totally fine. And they ship it back to me because it's in those cases, they were just repairs by just the function of the materials that were being used. Like it wasn't their fault. It developed over time, that kind of thing. And then they fixed it beautifully and checked in with me to make sure that I was satisfied before they returned it. So I really think the vast majority of makers will do what they can. And that doesn't mean necessarily, oh, don't worry, let me give you 10 free pens.
Right.
That's unreasonable.
Yeah.
But to look at the pen that you have and say, okay, here are the options, because it could be a discontinued material. Yeah. It could be something. You just never know.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice thing to remind folks about. And don't be scared. The makers are really very sweet.
Yeah.
They're doing something scary, which is putting out their creations. Mm-hmm. And I think they would prefer this rather than you go on Reddit and you're like, oh, look at this disgusting pen I got or something.
Also, I think, I mean, when I get something, I don't right away think, oh, I'm not happy with this, and I email the maker right away. I will use you often, but friends, and I'll say, hey, I got this. Do you think it's unreasonable for me to feel dissatisfied because of this, this, and this? And then, I get to make sure I'm just not being unreasonable, because I also don't want to be unreasonable, right? And there is, because they're not perfect, obviously, right? So you just have to be reasonable in your requests and, take a survey.
You want to be fair.
Completely
That's
fair.
All, right?
Yeah,
you're
absolutely.
You want to make sure you're being fair about your expectations.
Yep.
And this has happened. We've had this discussion before where you've showed me something, and I think I'm probably a lot meaner than you are, but just in theory, right?
Yeah.
Just if I were to approach that maker, I'm much more compassionate, but it's like when we're just riffing, you and I, it's like, what is that? However, we're still passionate pen lovers, so it's all good. Okay, beautiful. The next thing, this is about pricing. So Pens by Pasquale says, my reason for not publicly sharing prices. There are a select few makers, who we shall not name, that have a tendency to undercut the prices of the majority. Or in my case, taking a photo of a pen I made with my price to another maker to get a cheaper pen and faster. So that would be say I went to Pens by Pasquale's feed and I took a picture of a pen. And I'm like, oh, I want this. And say Nicholas gives me a quote of $300 for that pen.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, I can get this cheaper elsewhere. And then take that to a different person.
I see.
Unfortunately, that is the nature of a free market.
Yeah.
But because I think the majority of us are genuinely pen lovers and we really love the community we're in, I would discuss it with the maker. I need this pen now because I need instant gratification. I would be honest about it. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Well, when I read this, I my first thought was, people do this?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right?
I know. It's like, that's gross.
What?
That's, and we'll kind of touch on this again on one of the other makers' comments, but that is gross.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's tough for makers.
That's really tough. And I mean, I think that maybe that's a good reason why he doesn't want to do that,
mm-hmm.
to publicly share his prices. I get that. So I guess what I will say is, if you don't publicly share your prices, then I think you just have the risk of people not asking because of what we talked about last episode, where people tend not to want to bug people to ask.
Yeah.
But I mean, Pens by Pasquale has made it quite clear, and he's very approachable and very nice and very accessible on Instagram.
Yeah, so absolutely.
You can always message him and say, hey, I want a pen like this. How much is that going to cost? And there is no pressure whatsoever.
There really
Even
isn't.
Even if I've bugged him so many times on oh, what is this pen and how much is this? And, da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
And he's completely...
It's so patient.
I'm so patient. And
We've had discussions about can't not. We totally have not. But that could be a note to makers that completely understand not sharing a specific price, but this is where a starting price might be helpful.
Yeah.
Right? My pens start at this. This is what my time, my labor, my materials, this is the base price. So at least someone has an idea.
Yeah. Well,
but I totally respect this.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And again, free market, right? So nobody says you have to list your prices anywhere.
You can make it up as you go.
Right.
maybe they need a maker's guild or something. So carrying on with the prices, with reference to deposits, Pens by Pasquale says, I do not currently take deposits simply because it adds an unnecessary pressure to hurry up and get it done. I would rather take my time and do it right. I also know that I could do a better job of my estimates of the time frame in which a pen will be completed. And he does acknowledge this is something he's actively working on. I'm totally fine with this.
Awesome.
I'm okay either way if a maker wants to request a deposit or not. If they do request the deposit, my only thing is that they are accurate about their time, whether it is the initial estimate or whether they keep me posted.
Yeah. It's about communication, right? So
yeah. Yeah. It's like relationships. They're like communicate.
And also the deposit and what it's actually doing. This is a deposit for the pen. And because I think there were sometimes there were makers that was it to hold the, like it's a non-refundable deposit, you know, things like make sure you just are clear as to exactly what it is you're you're doing.
Like if you're requesting an unusual material and they have to go buy that material.
Yeah.
A deposit is completely fair.
Absolutely. And maybe if you decide to change your mind about the pen, you might be free to do it. And but you forfeit the deposit, or you know, if they buy the pen, I don't know if they buy the material, are you entitled to get the material? I don't know. Things like that should be discussed, right? It's I know I remember Sean, I think it was Sean Newton's website that has a complete paragraph or two about his rules relating to that. At the time that I was reading it, I think he said, I don't take deposits. And if you change your mind, it's fine because I still have the pen and I can sell the pen. So he was very...
But it's true. And but that's fine, right? That's, but at least he's clear.
And also he has a different model because he has a CNC machine, I believe. And so I think the volume of pens that he can produce, it's a little different in terms of the time he spends. Anyway, it's just a complete model. Again, but it's all communication, right? He has it right up front. This is these are his rules, and he's cool with that. So
yeah,
I get it and I completely understand. No, I mean, I don't know.
I'm okay either way. Just make it clear.
For sure.
Because even if a maker agrees to make a pen for me, like that we chat about it in Instagram DMs or something, I will usually ask, would you like a deposit?
Yeah.
Just because I want them to know that
I'm committed.
And I value their time and all of that. So.
I don't know. I think if you commission a pen, you commission the pen. Like,
yeah, you know. Because some people count them or used to count them as part of their Candace, you're not supposed to be counting.
No, I meant it counts in my budget.
Okay, because Candace, numbers don't matter.
That's right.
Or something. I don't know. Whatever.
This is awful. Anyway, go ahead.
So Pens by Pasquale is planning on moving in a direction of a $0 cost to get on the list. And then we'll possibly request a deposit prior to cutting into the material of choice, especially if it's a rare or expensive or one-off material. And I think that's very fair. He says, I don't block people for many reasons, but an insistence that I copy or do something cheaper than another maker is the quickest way to get blocked. And I think that's also completely fair.
Yeah.
If I were someone, if I were a customer like that, I would deserve to be blocked.
Yes.
He's very funny, though. He says, I'm a material addict. I have a lot of blanks. I'm always happy to do a tour of my current available materials.
I can attest to this.
Likewise.
Because I...
He bad.
but I also mean that he's perfectly happy. So he has given me a video tour of...
Yes.
And not only that... I've then gone to say, okay, blanks number 5, 10, and 15.
Yep. Could you please line them up?
Please line them up. Can you please rotate them in a video? Can you please hold them up against the other material that I am considering matching with the pen? And and a couple of weeks later, I've gone back and I've said, I think I've changed my mind. Can we go back and go through the video again? I mean, I'm so sorry, Nick, but I'm crazy that way. I just have this, it's bad. Like I feel like I don't make a decision. I can't make a decision
Candace
hold to it.
Crazy.
I'm crazy.
But I think not every maker has the time to do this, depending on whether they do this as a hobby or if this is what they do full time. Pens by Pasquale does invite folks to message him on Instagram because he is responsive and he is willing and able to answer these kinds of questions, but it's very dangerous.
Absolutely.
That's so dangerous. Okay, let's move on to our next maker. This maker is Carl at F3 Pens. And so first up, each pen is handcrafted and unique. Asking for a pen that is 0.01 millimeters precision is not practical for handmade or enjoyable for a pen maker. Please be a little flexible and enjoy the artistic side and sometimes imperfect side of custom pens.
100%. Totally fair. Yeah, absolutely.
If you want something that is absolutely precise, going handmade is just not the route with anything.
Agreed.
I mean, part of the fun of a custom pen is having yours slightly different just ever so slightly.
Absolutely.
So I'm totally good with that. And I agree with you, Carl.
Yeah.
I think we both do. Next up, this one is very, I think, very relevant right now because resin blanks are very popular. Many materials are hand-mixed and poured, and there's no guarantee that the color mix or pattern will be what you picture in your head. And it definitely won't match the one you saw on that YouTube video review.
And 100%.
It's so true. I can also attest to that. And I could also apologize to many makers where I've said, this is the picture of the pen I have seen. This is what I want. And they're like, they're super sweet about it. They're like, okay, the person who pours that blanks is not making that material anymore. Or they're not using the particular dye. Here's what I have. And I'm like, none of these are right. Make all the pens. Let me pick. So I'm so sorry to those makers. I deeply apologize. For real. I do, because at that time, I didn't realize what I was asking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think once you understand this point, you as a pen lover have a decision to make. Do I commission this pen and take the risk that the end result is not going to look like what you want? Or do you just have to wait and find a maker that sells stock pens because it's already made, poured? Sorry, it's already made and polished and finished.
So you can see what it looks like.
Right.
Yep.
And then the risk there is, of course, you don't get that one because many people are vying for that pen. But you just, that's just the nature of it, right?
It's a gamble or it's a guarantee. But with the guarantee, it's more stressful.
Yeah. This is why buying secondhand pens is really, if you can, it's really the way to go. And not just because I sell a lot of secondhand pens. So, you know.
You don't even need to wait till Candace puts it up for sale. If you see a pen on her feed you like, message her.
Yeah. And then just say, if you ever sell this pen, because I have done that. I have reached out to people and said, you were interested in this pen. Are you still interested? I'm selling it. If not, I'll list it, right? And often, in fact, I'd say 99% of the time, the price of the pen is going to be much cheaper.
Right.
It's going to be very much cheaper. Certainly, it'll be cheaper, right?
Yeah.
It'll all depend on how rare the material is.
Yeah.
But it will be cheaper than buying a brand new pen. If you get it from me, just a little plug here. My pens are pristine. My used pens, so-called used pens, I may have used once or twice. And often the nib I sell it with is probably brand new. It's not even used because
it's true.
I have a bunch of nibs that I use for custom pens. But it really is the way to go because then you can see the actual pen you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting
and also there's no waiting time.
And there's no waiting time.
Yeah, it's really beautiful. And that also opens up the person who sold you their pen. They can be the one to go wait and buy a new pen.
That's right.
Right? Like put the pressure on them. Okay. Awesome. I have definitely done that. I have two pens with the Omas Aqua de Bologna. As we all know, I love that.
Yes.
Because I thought I'm going to just get it from two different makers, but I bought them. Mm-hmm. Like I went through with it. It's not like I backed out and then I just kept both. I thought, oh, I'll just sell the one I'd like less, but I kept both in the end. And now I have two more on the way. So anyway, so next point, we can discuss that next episode.
That's right. What has Aziza been up to?
Yeah. Aziza's been up to lots of things. Okay. So pen makers are not obligated to work with a customer, and a customer is not obligated to buy from a maker. The custom pen experience should be a pleasant one, not a stressful one.
Yes.
If you are not a good fit and get turned down for your project, thank them and move on to someone else who may be a better choice. Totally fair.
100%.
Yeah.
Free market, right?
It's a free market, and you might be requesting something that is out of the realm of capability or willingness of a particular maker. Yep. But I can't say that with most makers, if they cannot accomplish or are unable for whatever reason, they will typically refer you to someone they know.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like hiding the market or keeping you. They're usually pretty good about it. So try not to be offended if that happens.
And don't harass them. They totally
absolutely
have a right.
Harassment is a big no-no.
Yes.
Just in general. The last one from Carl is, pen makers talk. They're a very small and close community, so please don't play one off of another for the same project, as most of the time, the makers will figure it out and you'll be turned down by both. Also, please don't ask a maker to copy someone else's pen because you don't want to wait for or pay for the other maker's work. Totally fair.
Absolutely.
I'm good with that. And I do think that if that is actually happening.
It sounds like it, because this is basically the same point that Nick had, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So, good point. Yeah. That is, come on, pen lovers, do better.
Exactly.
Okay, next up, we are going to, this is a new pen maker. And so their Instagram account is PapaJWW. So Papa J Woodworks. And he recently crossed my Instagram feed and wow. Pretty cool. So he says, I'm new to the fountain pen world, so I'm learning so much and I love hearing feedback from customers, good or bad. I want to know how I can elevate my game or continue to do things customers like. Open and honest communication is the key to being the best maker I can be for my customers. Also, I love the community aspect of this world. Love seeing people use my pens and sharing, etc. Thanks. Awesome.
I'm waiting for something from him.
You bitch. Sorry, Chi, you're going to have to edit. Look at your face.
We'll have to do the...
Yeah, we're having to... Okay.
So I will be sharing possibly next episode.
Okay, I realize that you have a husband where you share things with, but I'm offended. Okay, so yeah, I can't wait until next episode. So we'll discuss that after.
Okay.
But thank you, Papa JWW. We will link to you. But as a pen lover and buyer, I appreciate having that encouragement to let you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, next up, this is from Timber Elegance. First of all, thank you for a fabulous podcast. Oh, you're most welcome. so bashful. I have been making pens for a few years now. My favorite pastime is being in my shop, designing and working out the details of a new pen on the fly and just seeing what comes out. Okay, so he said, this is Darren, and he says, however, I love working with clients to try and make the picture in their mind's eye come to life. Communication is key. Inspiration pictures are always helpful in expressing your thoughts. They can show the colors you like or the moods you are trying to express. However, getting a picture of another maker's pen and asking for an exact match is not okay. It happens more than you might think.
I think it's a common theme.
Wow. Every maker so far has mentioned
that's
this.
That's right.
Oh, God, I hope I've never done that intentionally. Like, I hope it's never happened that way. But anyway, when you're asking for specific sizes, try giving a measurement rather than examples. But remember, these are handmade and a little variance should be expected. Mm-hmm. Fair. Color mixing resins is more magic and artistry than science. It can be very satisfying to get that perfect mix of color. There's a lot of variation in blanks, even from the same batch.
Yes.
And then turning a resin rod down to size is an adventure in itself. You never know what you'll get if you take one more millimeter off.
True.
Fair. Pricing is very unique from one maker to another. You never know what individual expenses or unique processes are used. Asking for estimates to find a price within your budget is one thing. And weight/ making times can vary significantly amongst makers. However, please don't order from two makers and then take the first one done.
Okay, I gotta stop there. People do that?
I'm apologizing on behalf of pen lovers. That's gross.
I don't understand. Anyway,
buy both.
Well, yeah, if you order, like I said, if you order it, I think it should be yours unless there
is some of us do.
Unless
that.
There is like a condition attached to it and you're clear about that, right? Like it's
but, just like that has to be a mutual thing.
Yeah.
Again, apologies.
Yeah.
So many of us don't ask for deposits, but prefer to do custom work on the honor system. While not being happy with the finished project is a possibility, just deciding you have changed your mind is not. If you decide not to take the commission when finished, the maker is out of the materials, the time, and depending on the uniqueness of the pen, is stuck with a piece that might not sell. Like if you have requested small particular things. Finally, please remember we are a small maker community. You know where this is going.
That's right.
Many of us talk. Usually ask each other for advice when it comes to unique commissions or requests. If one maker has an amazing client, we love to talk about them and will often pass on recommendations or redirect clients to a maker that can more readily help. However, the same happens when a client takes advantage of a maker. Overall, the custom experience has the potential to be one of the most gratifying in your collection. Reach out. We always like to talk about our craft. Again, apologies for the gross behavior that some of us display, and hopefully I never have. And if I have, I'm so sorry.
I know this is
like you never know.
I know it's shocking to me because this is just shocking me. This is just this is just shocking human behavior. Like, it's just...
I know. It's like, it's not even just the pen world. Like,
I know, right?
Ew. Our next maker. Oh, this one's anonymous. Ooh, exciting. Okay. So first of all, they thank us for our ideas. We cannot do this without your support. Literally without you, pens would pile up and our spouses would ask us to find a new hobby. Yeah, well, that happens on this end too.
That's right.
I don't have a spouse, but in theory. When you commission a pen, it's a two-way relationship. Please respond back in a timely manner regarding questions. Your pen cannot be finished unless we hear from you. And please let us know your preferred method of communication. Totally fair. I'm very anti-ghosting.
I know. I didn't even know that existed until I've seen some pen makers say, if you've ordered this pen from me, can you just let me know?
Don't be a coward. I know. It's one thing to not confront people, but it's another thing to just disappear.
Yeah.
That's gross. Yeah. Anyway, so totally fair. That's just a matter of communication once again. We understand that pen sales occur, and sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and buy up killer deals. However, please remember, if you have commissioned a pen, it's a bit rough to hear that you will be dropping out of your commission because you bought up all the sale pens.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from other makers, but could be from a retailer,
right? Well, it's just like you've spent your money somewhere else and you forgot to allocate
committed
it from your budget.
Yeah, it's like, this is why budgeting is helpful.
That's right.
Pertaining to pens in which your commissioned pen is days away from being completed and you have been in the know that it's almost there, bailing literally as your pen is being packed up is even rougher. Bailing after you have chosen your nib, it's been fully tested and you signed off, is even worse. Note number two, if you have doubts about your commission, please speak up.
Yeah, fair.
This is so sorry.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Okay, guess what's coming up again?
Mm-hmm.
Please do not ask us to copy someone else's work. We appreciate that you enjoy working with us and maybe you are fully dedicated to working with only one or two makers, but please do not ask us to copy. Again, it disturbs me that this has come up so often.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Every maker is different. We all have our own specialty. Speak up. Let us know what you're looking for, what you like, and what you don't like. If you can be accommodated, we will let you know. And if we cannot accommodate you, the reason may be complicated, but as they mentioned previously, they have a network. They can refer you to someone who is specialized in what you're requesting. Blanks. Not all blanks are equal. Every blank is somewhat similar, but not always the same. Unless it is one color, but even then variation can happen. Some of us do not like using other people's blanks. It's a quality control issue or a brand issue. Some blanks do not have a consistent pattern, and we cannot guarantee we will get what you want. Blanks in rod shapes are cheaper to make, but require tremendous skill. Block blanks are more expensive to make, literally 2 times more resin material is required, but the skill level is easier to achieve. However, the maker then has to turn it down from a block to a round. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what you may want will take multiple molds and multiple castings or is not structurally sound. And not everyone charges the same for a blank. Some vendors, it's $24 and you make one pen. Some it's $14, some it's $32. The prices range all over the place and that plays a role in the price of your pen. Lastly, tuning, we hear you. Unfortunately, it is not something easily achieved and this will be a work in progress for a lot of us. I could totally respect that.
Absolutely.
And I appreciate that the makers are hearing us because for people who are crazy,
like you.
Okay, I was going to say like Candace. I was going to say, you typically know what you want in a pen, in a blank, in a material. But when it comes to tuning, that is kind of a wild card. So I really appreciate hearing that makers are working towards some kind of solution.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to the blanks comment about not every maker will work with every blank. And I think we talked about this, the Oprex material is a good example
yes.
of that.
Yeah.
That, you know, don't harass a maker if they are not willing, you like their model, but if they're not willing to do the Oprex opal, there's a good reason. So,
and they're like, that is just in case anybody missed the previous episode, that is one that has silica. So it's dangerous to inhale mm-hmm. when it's being turned. I remember that Ryan Krusak of Krusak Studios made someone a malachite pen, which has you can get poisoned when you're turning it.
Oh my God.
Which he did not, it didn't occur to him until he was getting poisoned. So there are some materials that are actually dangerous
yeah.
and not just difficult.
Yeah.
So please take that into consideration. If a maker says, here's the price.
Yeah.
Like if it's really more expensive, there might be a reason. There probably is a reason.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Ooh, this one starts with a nice. Aziza, Candace, and Chi, thanks for the many hours you put into this awesome podcast. It's much appreciated.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. And really, this is really all Chi because she makes us sound way better than
absolutely.
We
absolutely.
She, however, does not post on Instagram, so feel free to harass her. Some people focus on the seemingly high prices for artisan pens in comparison to more mass-produced pens. So I thought a breakdown of some real-world costs might clear up things for the customer's standpoint. Let's break down a simple standard pen from a small maker, including a bonus gift of a rickshaw sleeve, and using the maximum bulk discount pricing on Yovo or Bock nibs. So, for example, direct costs that a maker might experience. Blank material, it ranges from $15 to at least $55 and up, yeah. Right? So unusual materials are definitely more expensive. Nib, converter, shipping, PayPal fee, packaging, box, and the rickshaw bonus sleeve, $37 and up.
At least.
This makes at least.
Yeah.
That's for like the bare minimum.
Yeah.
This makes the total direct cost per pen right at $52 minimum and around $92 for a material like the Crazy Fiber Micarta or Juma or some ebonites. Other consumables and repeating costs, self-employment tax, website hosting, website domain, towels, sandpaper, polishing compound, buffing wheels, buffing compound, drill bits, oil, taps and dies, carbide cutting tips, and many more things that I probably forgot. Also probably gifts for your spouse so that they tolerate what you're doing.
That's right.
In the workshop. So besides the one-time costs of the lathe and tooling, there are many other expenses. Unless you're a large company with multiple employees, small pen makers almost cannot charge enough to cover their time and expenses in many cases. If you see a maker charging $150 or less for a pen, they either haven't accounted for all of these expenses or it's a hobby to them where it's just a fun thing. They just make a pen here and there. It's not really looking to
make a profit,
break even, or make a profit. Yeah. And as he mentions, this doesn't even include the time. Not only does it take multiple hours to make the pen, there is usually an even more substantial time investment into communicating with customers, ordering tools and materials, being present on social media, packaging, and shipping. I can totally understand that as a small business owner. I mean, an order that takes me an hour to pack up and ship out and drive to the box, whatever. But it's like, it can be hours of replying to emails, replying to messages, sending references. Like it is time consuming. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that makers don't enjoy this, but it's time.
Yeah.
Like it's just what it is. All that to say, we are trying hard and not making a lot of money. So please be patient with us in situations where you may be frustrated with a maker. It can be frustrating to spend your own money on something that possibly didn't live up to your expectations, but venting a frustration online can cause lasting damage to a small maker's reputation that they may not deserve. I totally agree. And this is where go to the maker first, because I would say more often than not, they're going to resolve this. Mm-hmm. In conclusion, I hope this sheds some light on pricing and helps give some perspective. I think I can speak for all artisans when I say that we really love our customers. We are grateful for their support and enthusiasm and are honored that they use and treasure the things we make with our hands. Thank you all very much for giving us the chance to create these small pieces of art. So that's actually our last maker feedback contribution.
Did we say who that was from?
Now.
I'm not sure.
This is Godsey Pens. Yeah. And I actually had the pleasure of meeting him and his wife at Baltimore. And it was awful because he was there and right behind him was White Bear Pens. And I ended up leaving with like six pens between the two of them. So thanks. But I can totally see, even just looking at their tables, the accommodating like the travel costs and everything to be there and present, it's not $150 per pen.
Yeah.
Yes. So if anything, they're breaking even, if that.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think, I don't need a pen, sure you do. Or a maker needs you to need a pen.
Support your maker.
Support your maker and enjoy it. And I really think the conclusion here is behave with class. Like, don't try to undercut makers. Don't try to copy makers. And communicate.
Yeah, I think that about sums it up.
Like, it's so easy. All the psychologists and like marriage counselors, they're like, communicate, right? So that about sums it up. And I know for a fact Candace loves her makers, and so do I. And we are all super grateful that you all tolerate us. just say, because it's not that we want to be demanding. We just really love what you do and really believe in the makers when we're communicating with them, that they can magically achieve what we want. Sometimes it works. Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't, but we're just really big fans.
Absolutely.
Like huge
fans.
Huge fans. And since we have no idea what Candace has been up to in the last three episodes,
you'll have to wait till next week.
You're going to have to wait till next week. So you're going to have to just tune in. Gourmet Pens probably has like 10 pens.
What?
I know. It's so bad. Some of those are not my fault.
Oh, none of them should be your fault, right? I think. let me just get this straight. This is like in addition to Baltimore?
No. This is after Baltimore.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I meant.
This is not including the 10 you bought in Baltimore.
Yeah. So it's like, we're not counting.
It's a good thing we're not counting anymore.
Yeah, no, good thing. But it's like, I have no defense. So, on that note, we are going to leave the feedback forms open. In case pen lovers and pen makers want to continue to submit feedback, we will check in on them occasionally and just share them as we go. Candace, do you have any last thoughts? Wait a minute. When this episode comes out, you will have done damage.
I will have done damage. I hopefully will have done damage. So yes, I will be coming back from Japan. I know. Anyway.
That's all she's going to say. She's going to taunt us. Okay. So there's your teaser. And my teaser. Thank you. I look forward to hearing about your adventures and purchases. So a huge thank you to all the makers who contributed feedback and were willing to share their names and be gutsy because it's scary.
Thank you so much.
I think that's everything, right?
That's everything.
Okie dokie. So we're going to be back to the usual next time. Stay insane, stay incredible, and stay inky. I'm Aziza, aka Gourmet Pens from the Gourmet Pen Shop.
And I am Candace, Inks and Anchors.
Bye!
This podcast was sponsored by Gourmet Pen Shop. Need some tools for slinging ink? Samples to explore? Hop on over to gourmetpenshop.com and consider supporting us by picking up some cool new stuff. And if you like what you hear, please give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.
I am having plotter issues.
Again?
So I've been basically staying up until like 5 a.m. every night trying to reorganize my life. Mm-hmm. It's not going well. So I started with one plotter, as we know. It was the A5. I hated it. Then I ended up with one Bible. And then I was like, this isn't enough. And then I ended up with two. And then I was like, this isn't enough. And then I got another one. And also, I got the Mini 5. But then I sold it and bought another one. And now I'm back to one Bible and one Mini 5. So, but it's not enough. So anyway, I'm having issues. And maybe it's not helping that I'm doing this at 4 to 5 a.m.
I think
maybe it is.
I think we have the outtakes.
Yes.